We're back.
That's right, baby.
Welcome back, y'all, to Civil
and Savage.
I knew you wanted to do that.
I did want to do it. You were in my heartstrings.
Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. We've been away for a little bit. I was under the weather, but I'm back feeling better. And we are back to talk about what I expect to be an interesting conversation, to say the least. Banks, today's conversation is Banks's idea, so I'm going to let Banks go ahead and take it from here. I'm going to buckle up my seatbelt and hope for the best.
We're going to jump right in there, but I have to tell you about what I was just reading, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at this. Her name is Odessa Hamilton. She's a behavioral epidemiologist, right? And she wrote this op-ed last year, and it was super entertaining. It's called 50 Things Not to Say to Black People. And I just thought it was just like,
wow,
a hilarious thing.
You got and my attention.
So I kind of wanted to read a couple of these because I thought they were pretty funny. But it says some of these, and I'm just gonna jump around to them. It says, "You're actually really smart."
Yes, like, yes.
And like some of these things that I've heard from
my whole life,
from, you know, people, and I'm like, oh, what was I not supposed to be smart?
Yep, my whole life. Yep, I've heard that one. Mm-hmm.
And it says, you speak so articulately.
Whole life.
I've heard that.
Yeah. They said that about Obama.
Yeah.
Like, they said that about Obama. Biden said that about Obama.
Yeah, so, he did. It's like,
mm-hmm.
And then my personal favorite one, and the one that irritates me the most, can I touch your hair?
Oh.
I hate it. I hate when white people do that. I mean, look. I hate it. It's like the worst thing in the world to me. Like, no, you can't touch my hair. Like,
yo,
it's just fucking hair, people.
Yo.
So,
well, you know what? It's not just hair. Like, for black people, our hair is not just our hair. It's our hair means more to us than white people's hair means to them. And it's funny. I just saw a TikTok recently about this. And it was the father was teaching his young, beautiful black girl about her hair. And he reaches for her hair. And he says, "What do you do when somebody reaches for your hair?" And it was the most adorable thing. She looks up and says, "Don't touch my hair." Like,
oh, look at you, man. You all right over there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just getting over stuff.
Yeah,
he had to teach her, because all the black women I know all my life have had to deal with somebody just touching their hair without permission, particularly white women touching their hair without permission, and it's disrespectful. But you've experienced that
all the time. I can't stand it. Like, because, you know, I have like twists. My hair is like naturally curly. I'm actually half black and half Native American, half Shawnee. And so I have a lot of Native American in my blood, right? And so my hair isn't like normal black people,
mm-hmm.
hair. It's like a weird kind of curly twist kind of situation, but it's super curly and people want to touch my hair all the time, and I'm like, mm-hmm. leave my shit alone. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to touch my hair.
And to be clear, the problem isn't wanting to touch your hair. The problem is not asking,
right?
And not being okay with no.
Yeah. And they're like, mm-hmm. oh, well, let me just touch it. No, don't touch Mm-mm. it anyway. No. I literally said no. Leave me alone.
No.
All right.
No.
So I just was reading this, and I was like, man, I need to share this on the podcast because
I want to hear more of these. Give me two more.
I like you. You're surprisingly professional.
Oh, I honestly believe that I've had jobs where I have been treated better than other people simply because the bar for them when it comes to black people is low. And because I'm a professional and because I speak well and all these other things, they're like, oh man, I'm genuinely surprised. I'm going to treat him. I'm going to treat him well. Cause like I've been in jobs where people are like, why does this happen for you and it doesn't happen for other people? And I'm like, well, besides the fact that I'm a man and men just get treated better in the workplace than women, like I think sometimes there's a bar there of like, oh, you act this way. I didn't expect it. And they don't say it, but they treat you that way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. All right, one more.
One more. Do you have any weed? Like, is this a normal question?
Let me tell you something. If you're black and somebody just asks you that off the strength of you're black, I just thought you might. Look, if you get in a fight, I get it. Like,
right.
Like, if you say, you know what, we need to scrap this out because I'm offended at what you assumed. I'm not saying it's right, but I would understand if that made you that mad. I would get it. I would get it. That's too far. That's not even a microaggression.
Yeah, no, it's straight up like, micro. Do you have weed? No.
That's straight up aggression.
And before we dive into niggas and black people, niggas v black people. Okay, before we dive into this, I know he hates this topic, but I love it and I want to talk about it and I need to get some things out. I want to tell you the story, right? I met a friend in college. I won't say any names. I met him in college, right? And he lived in the projects of Milwaukee, right? Mm-hmm. I had never been to the hood like that, you know, so he invites me over Thanksgiving, you know, being half indigenous, that, you know, we don't really celebrate like that, you know, so yeah. So he invites me over to his family's Thanksgiving dinner. So me being who I am and where I was raised, I put on my sport coat and my khakis and my, my button down shirt with my dress shoes. Right. And I take a trip over, I jump in the car with him and he's like, well, what do you have on? I was like, hey, we're going to a dinner party. Right. so he's like, fuck it. Let's go. Right. So we drive, you know, a couple hours, get to Milwaukee. My man lives in the projects. He said it. He was like, you know, we're going to the projects, right? And I was like, I don't know what that is. So let's go. So we go to the projects. And in the projects, like, it's like probably the scariest place I've ever been in my life up until that point. So I'm just like freaking the hell out looking around. I'm like, oh, my God. Dude, this is what the projects look like, right? So we get there, we get to his family's house, his mom comes out, she hugs me, she's like, oh, welcome, you know, they invite me in or whatever. I'm hanging out with his mom and, you know, and him, and his cousin shows up, right? Mm-hmm. And these are like the most hardcore looking people I've ever seen, right? I had like no exposure to this environment, right? So they come in, they got guns on their belts and, you know, they wear baggy clothes. And I'm sitting here in a sport coat, right? Mind you, you know, so I look like I just got off a cruise ship.
You were like that scene of Fresh Prince where like Carlton is in like his prep gear and then all the other guys are dressed like.
Like straight up hood, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in here and I'm in this living room and he calls my friend into the kitchen, right? I'm just sitting in the living room watching football, calls my friend in the kitchen. He's like, hey man, what the fuck you got the police here for, right? So I'm just sitting there thinking like, who's the police? I'm like looking around. I was like, is there a police officer here? And, So he's like, man, what the fuck you got the po here for? He was like, you talking about banks in there? He's like, yeah, that nigga on the couch. Why you got the police in there? And then I'm realizing, like, oh, shit, they think I'm the po, right? So I'm like, damn, the sport coat, right? So, like, they're in there for, like, 20 minutes, like, arguing, right? And, like, the dude, the other guys that his cousin shows up with, they stand in at the doorway, like, just, like, looking at me like I'm about to get... like murdered up here, right?
So I didn't know what I was there for. They
right. They didn't know I was popo or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I throw my head up like, what's up, man? Like I was cool and shit. And I'm not cool at this point. Like I didn't develop my coolness until later in life. But I'm just sitting there like, oh shit, I'm about to die, man. These niggas about to kill me, right? So my buddy, him and his cousin are arguing, man. They about to go toe to toe. And then we leave him. He's like, man, let's go, Banks. Let's go, man. Let's go. Right. So we walking out to the car and I'm like, man, are we going to go eat or what? He's like, nah, man, we got to go. And I was like, for real? He's like, man, see, I told you not to wear that damn sport coat. I was like, bro, it wasn't the sport coat, right? So,
he might have saved your life.
Man, he did, man. He stuck up. They thought I was the police.
Yo, them guys was like, hey, right. Man, we
they was about to shoot me, bro.
Yo.
So, look, that's my first experience in the hood, if you around like some true blue ass niggas. So,
hey, look, I just want to say, I get where they're coming from. And I'm doing, look, we cool, but I get where they was like, I don't know who this guy is. And
right.
Like we about to eat and he dressed like it like we going to work.
They was right. Nah, put some sweatpants on. He could have told me to go change, man. I would have changed.
Like, better safe than sorry.
But you know, I thought I was going to a dinner party, man. I didn't understand what it was at the time. Man.
Yo, you came in there like it was Bel Air, and they was like, nah, bro. Nah, this is Philly.
Right, this is Philly. No, that's exactly what it was, man. So, that's just a story to kind of segue into today's topic, right?
Look, you lead the top. You start the topic off because I don't know where you want to go with this, and I just
okay. All right, so look,
you've been wanting to talk about this for weeks.
For weeks, man. Ever weeks. Since I was in Atlanta. All right, so
see, don't do Atlanta like that.
So
Atlanta is one of the only cities in the country that's ours. Don't
right,
do that.
And it is ours, like you. And
no,
me.
It's ours. I don't know if it's yours. The stories you about to tell. Look. I don't know if it's yours. I live north of Atlanta, so mm-hmm. I have a love for Atlanta. We gonna see how you feel.
So you live north of Atlanta around yours people, right?
I live north of Atlanta. Not out of enthusiastic choice, simply due to proximity to work.
Okay. All right.
I live near bland food simply because it's closer to work. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. All right. So look, here's the deal, man. We're facing a pandemic here. And we're not talking about H1N1. We're not talking about COVID. We're not talking about swine flu, monkeypox, anything like that. There's a real attack on our country today. And
y'all can tell that see?
It's niggas, bro. Like, look, niggas, it's a problem. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. There's black people. And there are niggas. And I want to give you an example of what I mean by this, right? So, black people, right? I went to a restaurant, had a great server, gave me some food, you know, gave him a good tip, nice dude, talked about stuff, came to the table for a few minutes, talked about a few things here and there. He talked about his life. He's working on getting his education, going to Morehouse. And this is all in Atlanta. So I don't want to pick on Atlanta. My nephew just went to Morehouse. Don't want to pick on Atlanta. But, you know, this dude was great. He was amazing. He was talking about, you know, what he's studying, business, and, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. My nephew's about to go there, blah, 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 right? Great service, great guy, nice conversation, right? And then I go to Hardee's, right? Because they don't have a Hardee's over where I'm at. Mm-hmm. So I go to Hardee's, and I order a combo. And I said, well, with my combo, I want a large fry. Mm-hmm. And her response was, we ain't doing that.
Love it.
So I'm like, what do you mean? Like, can I get a number six with a large fry? She's like, we ain't doing that. and like, there was no follow up to the we ain't doing that. It was just like, we ain't doing that. Like, can I not get my order? Or what exactly are you not doing? I'm paying customer, right? Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Like, I'm sitting in this drive-thru. Like, I have no idea what you're saying. You just said, we ain't doing that. And I was like, we ain't doing what exactly? And she said, them fries. And I said, well, I can't get a large fry. And then look, it took me like almost 5 minutes to get out that the fry machine was broken. So therefore, they can't make fries. Instead of saying, we ain't doing that. Is it beyond me to feel like she should have like went more depth into it? Like, hey, the fry machine is down. So we're not going to be able to complete your order, right? Because I feel like that's what a black person would say. But a nigga would be like, nah, we ain't doing that.
Okay.
Like, there's a difference.
see, we need to address this distinction.
Because right, let's elaborate.
Black people versus niggas, we'll come to that later because I know you got other points you want to make on this distinction. So, okay.
No, I want your input. Let me hear something. How do you feel?
So when she tells you we not doing that.
We ain't doing that.
We ain't doing that. I think that's funny. That would have made me laugh. And I probably would have been like, what you mean we ain't doing that? What happened? And if she had said the fry machine, don't worry. I'd been like, ah, okay, it's cool. It's cool. But to me, it's funny. Now, what I also think is you're getting at what I think is like respectability politics. Like, you think that there is a certain way that she should have carried herself being an employee of Hardee's and being on the clock. And because the fry machine was down, in your mind, it seems like she should have said, well, actually, sir, the fry machine is down, so we're not going to be able to do that. I get that.
What's wrong to want that? Like, I need some information.
Okay, so I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting that. I also don't think there's anything wrong with what you got.
Like, no, there's something wrong there.
Like, because if she had just handled it like normal, you wouldn't have a story.
No, I would not.
She gave you a story. She gave you a moment beyond the context of boring reality. She said, we not doing that. And it just was like, wait, huh? She gave you life.
No, look, Civil,
this is what black women do. Black women give life.
I think you're
not accepting the life.
You said your response, what you just said right there, is not accurate, sir. You said we are not doing that, right?
But she said
we ain't doing that. It was like, we ain't doing that. You ain't doing what? Bitch, give me my fries.
But she can't because the fry machine's out. Look,
right.
I'm just saying that what she did was even better than what I said. I'm saying she gave you a moment.
Right,
she
but
gave you a moment.
I didn't know what she was not doing. Like, was it the fries? Was it the drink? Was it the sandwich? Was it the whole combo? Was it the order? There was no follow-up information. It was just, we ain't doing that. And
I just think this is so it, to me, like, this is Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Like the fact that it's Atlanta. You just know that
they're
dealing
with
folks differently. They not doing that.
They ain't doing it.
Look. It's not like she just decided you weren't getting no fries.
Right.
The fries machine don't work. But she gave you a special introduction to the problem. She gave you something special. It's so special that you still remember it after all this time.
Look, the thing is, right afterwards, right?
Okay.
I was right afterwards. I called you, I think, and I was like,
"Yeah, you did."
What the hell does this bitch mean? She ain't doing that. Like, it was just so frustrating to me. And look, and mind you, right? I had a day that day.
Oh yeah, you did.
There were some interviews and things that were conducted, and it was mostly people of color.
Uh-huh.
And so, throughout these interviews through the day, and look, I want to help Black people as much as I possibly can, right? Love Black people, love them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there is a difference, man.
Between what?
So I'm going to give you an example. A Black person will show up to an interview with a button-up shirt, maybe a tie, maybe not, a black guy, right? Button-up shirt, tie, sport coat, or just a full suit. I ain't talking about a pink suit, purple suit, shiny red suit. I ain't talking about a velvet suit. I'm talking about a black, blue, tan, black, blue, tan, gray. Those are acceptable suits to wear to a job interview, right? I ain't talking about no purple suit with crushed velvet on the lapel, right?
Why you gotta be thinking about Outkast right now?
Right.
Big Boy Andre right now. Okay. Forever. Okay. So
okay. So right.
Appropriate attire for interview.
For interview, right? Okay. So yes, wear a suit. Wear a shirt, wear a tie. Even if Atlanta's hot, I get it. You don't have to wear a suit, right? Wear a shirt. However, wear a t-shirt underneath.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go into that later, but when we have a style episode later on. But right now, we talking about showing up to your interview, your job interview, and dressed like you look. If you working in an office, man, I am, man, because I'm still thinking about it to this day, right? So you walk up in a job interview, right? And you and somebody in this job interview is like, shows up in some Dickies and a t-shirt or a button-up shirt, even with your pants sagging. You ain't got no t-shirt underneath, so you got like these massive like sweat pits showing up on your shirt
in the Georgia summer.
Look, man, don't be making excuses.
I'm trying to paint a picture for the audience.
In the Georgia summer, right? You showed up in there, dog, and you. And the sweat smells bad.
That's rough.
You're not gonna get hired, man.
That's rough. Okay, but here's the thing. Okay.
But there's a difference between Black people. I would never do that. And like, I consider myself to be a Black person, right? I don't consider myself to be a nigga. I won't ever claim to be one. I have zero hood experience, right? But I do know that I don't know if they're just not being taught this or if it's just they give zero fucks. A nigga don't give a damn. They ain't doing that. They ain't doing that, bro. Like they ain't doing that. They ain't doing no shirt and tie. Dude, they ain't doing no dress pants.
Here's the thing, man. Okay.
So okay. Let me hear you.
There's so much going on here. There's like a hurricane of just right and wrong in this scenario of things that opinions you have that I understand and others that I'm just like, oh. Okay. So here's the thing. Black people don't dress one way or the other for interviews. Black people are just black people. We dress all sorts of ways. We do all sorts of things. There's black people who dress appropriately for interviews. There's black people who don't. And there's white people who dress appropriately for interviews, and there's white people who don't. There's people of all different, you know, backgrounds and knowledge and different things. So are there black people who don't dress appropriately for interviews? Yes, but there's also people who don't dress appropriately for interviews. It's not just black people. The black people versus niggas distinction is very funny so long as it remains a joke.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. When you interview for your job at work, did you get dressed up?
Of course I did.
In a suit.
Of course I did.
That's because you a black person.
No.
You ain't no nigga, man.
No. The reason I dressed appropriately is because if not for the grace of God, there go I. I'm fortunate enough to have been taught by people before me how to dress appropriately, how to act appropriately in different contexts. Not everybody is taught these things, right?
Right.
And also, like when it comes to professional attire and professional behavior, we have to be honest and recognize that professional is one of those words that has an invisible word next to it, a word that nobody ever says. That invisible word is white.
Right.
Okay. Because professional attire and behavior is what white people have deemed appropriate behavior and attire. Now that doesn't mean that black people shouldn't be professional. We all know plenty of black people who are. I've got friends who are doctors, lawyers, all sorts of professions. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But also it means that when we talk about how people should behave and act in these things, we are talking about white standards. And we're also talking about the fact that not everybody knows. And then it's about, okay, are those people in positions where they can be taught, this is how you should, you know, present yourself at the interview, this is how you should not? And then it just becomes about, does that person want to listen or not? Like, right. you told me the examples of the folks in the interviews, and it was very unfortunate to hear that there was opportunity in front of them and they didn't take advantage of it.
Good opportunity.
Because they weren't prepared for the opportunity. But all I'm saying is not being prepared for the opportunity is not a black thing and it's not a nigga thing. It's a people thing.
Look, man.
And there's all people of backgrounds who are not ready for opportunities in front of them.
I feel like I'm going to present you with multiple examples and you're going to say, okay, well, you know, it's not because it's a black person thing.
No, bring all the examples because I already know what the larger problem is.
Tell me.
But
what is the larger problem between black people and niggas?
No, that's not what I was going to say. The issue is here's the larger issue because you have more that you're going to say, so I don't want to like.
Oh, no.
No, so, well, I don't want to get in the way of what you're going to say later. I just want to put this, drop this there, and then you continue. The question worth asking is, why do we hold people to certain standards? Because when we say, like, you know, between black people and niggas, you know, because there's other examples you're going to make. So this is why I'm saying this, and the audience will kind of see where I'm coming from as we get later in the episode.
Right.
But, okay, should people act a certain way at a job interview and at a job? Of course. People right. should act certain ways in different contexts and circumstances. Of course. But when the judgment comes on black people in very unique ways, then the question becomes, why are we judging black people in the ways that we are? Like when we say black person versus a nigga, what do we mean when we say black person, and what do we mean when we say nigga? And are we, whether we know it or not, taking away the personhood and the individuality of black folks and saying, okay, well, you don't know this about how to be in certain situations, and therefore we're going to judge you. Is that really fair? That's the question worth asking as we continue to have this conversation.
And that's the reason why I brought up that story at first, right? The very first story, because
your Carlton Banks story.
right. So like I lived a very different life. So I haven't had my access to that world was all new to me. Like it was new to me. But then I think about it like this, from this perspective, right? When white people look at black people, they don't look at black people and niggas. They look at all of us as a whole. I think part of the problem is that when you see something that's fucked up, there's this sales technique that I use called bold printing, right? And I'll send this long email, right? And then I'll make the stuff that I want you to see in bold letters, right? So that way you don't read all of this email. You read just the stuff in the bold letters, right? And it's a psychological technique. It's bold printing. You just look at it, right? From a sales perspective, it's in my book. But anyway, back to what I'm saying. So, so when I do that, I only want people to focus on that. And I may make it up a bunch of other random shit as the email goes on and fluff up some stuff, but they only see what I want them to see. So when you're from a white person looking in, they're only going to see that bold printing. They're only going to see that negative color, that all black. They're not going to look at the rest of the email. They're only going to see what they want to see. And that's the bold print. So when they can't separate the two. So I believe that it is our duty as a black person to educate a nigga on how to actually be. Okay. And if we're not doing that, we are failing our nation.
Okay. So I got to stop you right there. Because again, like I said earlier, there's certain things you're saying that I understand. And it's certain things I agree with, such as, you know, let's help each other if you don't know how to move in certain spaces and how to conduct yourself in those spaces, depending on what your goals are when it comes to being in certain spaces. Like if you want to, you know, get a job, like how do you conduct yourself in the job interview? Well, you do that because you have a goal, and the goal is to get the job.
Right.
But the reason why this, when you told me you wanted to talk about this, I realized, okay, this is respectability politics, because now what you're saying about the bold printing is basically you're saying, as I hear it, and if I'm wrong, you let me know, but what you're basically saying is, hey, we got to make sure we act a certain way so white people treat us right. And no,
that's partially what I'm saying. And okay, I'm sorry to cut you off, but continue.
No, that's fair, because I would rather you cut me off and tell me I misunderstood than me like talk for 10 minutes and then I misunderstood you. So that's cool. But I hear that, and I have great, great, great issue with that idea. And it's because of this. So I'll use your example of bold printing. You create an email where you say a lot of different things, but then you bold the part that you want them to see. Okay. And the hopes that they will read that part and move in the way that you want them to move. The thing is, white people created society as it is. They created it when they came here and when they stole my ancestors and your ancestors, and right. then instituted a horrible, brutal way of living that they have continued every generation to the present. They created the email. They're the ones who have bolded. Okay. They're the ones who have determined through media and politics and culture and everything, how Black people are seen by white people, by Black people and the rest of the world. They're the ones who have created the bold, and they have made us look bad time and time again, corner after every corner, example after every example. So when we then say we've got to conduct ourselves a certain way because they can't differentiate. Yes, they can. White people differentiate against other white people all the time. When a white mass shooter goes into a Black grocery store or a Black church or a school or anywhere else and kills a bunch of people, white people never act like all white people are mass shooters.
Right.
They always individualize other white people. They don't do that for non-white people because non-white people are not persons in the same way that white people are. So no, they do know how to do it, but they have ingrained in themselves over many, many generations that they're just not going to treat all of us the same. Okay.
Right.
So that's where I disagree. They have made the world like this. They reinforce the world like this every generation, every so often. They keep it going. So they're the ones who need to do better. Now, are there things that we can improve so that we can accomplish the things we want to accomplish? Of course, because in the world as it exists, white people need to do better, and we got to make sure we help each other so we know how to, you know, move at job interviews and whatever the situation is. It's both and. It's not either or, but white people made the country the way that it is. So the responsibility is on them. We're just trying to survive in it. We're just trying to survive.
And again, I agree with you to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. I guess I do agree with you fully, because I don't think that it's the burden of proof is on, you know, the defendant or whatever, right? Or mm-hmm. on the prosecution, right?
Yeah.
So the burden of proof is on them. So
it sure is.
So I agree with that sentiment. However, wanting to advance or be not. So there was this thing that and everybody probably hate me for what I'm about to say. There was this thing that Stacey Dash said some years ago, God. Right? Right? I think you know where I'm gonna go, right? So yeah. There was this thing that says she had made mention to the BET Awards and the Image Awards, and she said, well, you know, if we want to be integrated, why are we separating ourselves? And for me, it kind of made sense what she was saying. If we hope to be, and that's why I think we're at different viewpoints of that, because I'm not saying like pretend like you're a quote unquote white person, right? I'm mm-hmm. saying pretend like you're. Be an educated Black person. Don't pretend. Educate yourself. Become knowledgeable. Become wise in the things that you want. And then create what you want for your future. And it's hard to do that because they're going to see you like that, right? They're going to see you in that bold print that you're encompassing all of your race. So that's why, again, when we were talking about the things before the at the start of the episode, like things that 50 things that you shouldn't say, oh well, you're really smart, like stuff like that, because that's all they're seeing us as. If we show them something different, if we if we conduct ourselves differently, then we can make the image of Black people better. And you don't believe so. And if we work with each other, we can make each other better. And I think that's where we lose sight of the things that we lose sight of, because we don't work with each other to make each other better. We have conversations like this where I'm like, this ain't that. I wanted to just pull up to the window and be like, look, ma'am, I understand.
All this because that you ain't getting no fries at Hardee's.
It's not that, dude. I just wanted her to be able to conduct herself to say, hey, unfortunately, our fry machine is not working, so we're not going to be able to complete that order. However, I can still give you the drink. I can still give you the sandwich, and that would be all, and I won't charge you for the full combo or something like that, right? Something that would make sense to say. But what I did, instead of educating her on what to say, I just pulled off with frustration, called you and be like, man, this nigga, right? So
you did. So it is. I fail to see the problem here.
And it is my fault, right? Like, it is my fault, because I could have said, I feel like as a Black man, I could have said, look, this is how you should have handled this situation.
Oh, no. Nobody.
Oh, no, she would have lost her shit. I agree with what you're saying.
I'm not saying she would have lost it. I'm just saying I wouldn't have done that if I were you.
That's a good way to get shot in Atlanta. But no,
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, look, I'm glad you did.
I've never not been able to take constructive criticism. When people tell me, like, hey, you're doing this wrong, this is the best way to do it, I think that information like that is helpful. Can you say that? Can you walk up to somebody in hood and be like, sir, your pants are hanging down to your thighs and the back of your knees. I think that you should pull your pants up to your waistline and, you know, put on a button-up shirt.
Okay, so...
Are you going to do that to a nigga?
No, I wouldn't do that. But the
would
reason
you do
is,
it to somebody you knew that would accept that criticism?
And that's the key. Do you know them? If you don't know somebody, you can't just walk up to them and tell them how they should be living, because you don't want somebody walking up to you that you don't know trying to tell you how to live. That's the thing. It's not about whether they would listen or not. It's about, do you have relationship with them where you could give them that feedback and where they would want to hear it? Because at the end of the day, constructive criticism, the bedrock of it is knowing that you have a relationship with the person giving you the feedback and that they care about you. And if you don't have that with somebody, it's not really constructive feedback. It's going to come off as criticism or judgment. So there's a couple things you said, and you bring up Stacey Dash. So,
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. So, okay, right, here's the thing. Stacey Dash is giving a very tired, consistent argument about, like, you know, if Black people want to be integrated, why do we have our own things? Well, the answer of why we have things like HBCUs and award shows and things is because, put simply, white people have a history of racism in the United States and did not want us to be in their things. It's actually that simple. And that history of racism has not stopped. So again, this idea that, oh, well, we've integrated with them, so why do we still have these things? We actually haven't integrated with them. When you look at housing statistics, white people make sure that they create neighborhoods where Black people are not in them. When about 30% of the neighborhood becomes Black, white people leave. It's called white flight. It happens so often that there's a term for it. There's a great book about it by Professor Kevin Cruz. Mm-hmm. And he talks about it happening in Atlanta. The Atlanta Braves team is an example of white flight. They left. They did. And they actually broke the law to do it. They did not follow the law when it comes to having public hearings so that Cobb County folks could come in and give their opinions about it. They made a deal in the middle of the night to move the Braves because they wanted to be around more white people. And that was their choice. But they didn't care about how it would affect Black folks. I say all that because white people have made it very clear. That's why they have gated communities. They build shrubs. And I'm not speaking just from, you know, just thought. Y'all, I live around these folks. I live in a very well-to-do city. And I'm telling you, white people go out of their way to not want to be around niggas because they see all black folks as niggas.
Niggas, right.
They don't see us. A lot of white people, I would say more than you're comfortable acknowledging, the general you, don't see us as people. So when you have a society that under the guise of colorblind racism, meaning I don't see color, but they still practice racism, we still have things because when it comes to things like the Grammys, when it comes to things like the Academies and these awards, they still don't recognize us, which is why you still have first blacks in 2022. Oh, the first black person for this, first black person for that, still in 2022. Why? It's not because we just all of a sudden became qualified for things. It's because they don't want us in their spaces. So when we then are talking about like how we should deal with each other and talk to each other, the thing is, black people are doing the things that you said we need to do. Black people are building businesses. We're in academia. We're President of the United States, Vice President, Supreme Court Justice, whatever you could think of, black people are doing in arts, in entertainment, in culture, in politics, in writing, everywhere. Black women are killing it. Black men are doing it. Wherever, whatever you think black people should be doing, we're already doing.
Right.
But as Dr. Martin Luther King said, and where do we go from here, chaos or community? He said that liberation and equality is a two-key lock. It requires two keys to open. Mm-hmm. And he said, black people, we have used our key. And he said, whatever the cost is for us, he feared it would cost us even more. But he said, we have done all we can to use our key. He said, it's white people. He was sad to say, that do not want to pay the price and do what it takes so that we can all be free. So again, yeah. I am going to bring it back to white people because they created the white supremacist country. That's the United States. They created the white supremacist country. That's Canada. They created the white supremacist empires of the United States, of Britain. They created all these white supremacist countries around the world because that's what they wanted. They right. wanted us societies where they were at the top. That's why they're at the top in everything. That's why it's not an accident. All the presidents except for one are white. Mm-hmm. All the VPs except for one are white. That's not an accident. That is by design. So again, to me, this is all on them. Are there things we could do to improve ourselves? Well, of course. But everything we do is in spite of the fact that they are the things they're doing are buffeting against us like right. waves at the sea every single day. Everything we do is in spite of the things that happen against us. So I get where you come from, but I'm like, it feels like you're mad because you.
I was mad about my fries at Hardy. However, I was more mad about the way that she handled the situation instead of presenting it the way that I felt like she should.
See, I would have cracked a joke with her.
But
I would have been like, because hey.
I know you always think that shit is funny, but me,
I would have cracked a joke with her because that's my personality. Right. I would have been like, what you mean we not doing that? I drove all this way. You not going to give me no fries? What's going on? Right. And we would have keyed it up. We would have laughed. And then it would be like, okay, it's broken. And then I might have joked with her like, you couldn't have told me that at the beginning. You made me think you just ain't want to give me no fries.
Look, it wasn't even she didn't. If it was a specification on fries, then I would have said yes.
Oh, you thought you weren't even getting your number six.
I didn't get my combo. Dude, look, I wanted a Frisco thick burger combo. She was saying, we ain't doing that. Which part of that you ain't doing? That's was like 2 months ago. Shit.
So yeah, I'm still mad about it. You're right? Still mad. Okay,
I'm still mad because I wanted my damn fries.
I feel like you need to give them the example. You need to tell them the thing you told me about your friend. because I feel like that's another component of the respectability discussion that I think we should have.
Yeah. And look, and I, cause we were talking about this earlier, just to kind of segue away from niggas. Cause we ain't doing that the whole episode. We ain't doing that. So we can segue into gay rights, right? And I think that both of these issues are equality issues. Like, where people are asking for equality. I have a friend who just refuses to go to any type of pride events, right?
And she's a lesbian, right?
Oh yeah, she's lesbian, okay. married for a couple years, like one of my favorite humans on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. So I've even been to a couple of prides, but she went to one and she will never go again. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it and she said, I went down there and I saw a guy riding a tricycle in a tighty whities with some angel wings and a halo on his head and nothing else on. And then after he got done riding his tricycle, he held up a sign asking for gay rights. So, and I laughed because she was like, how the fuck are you going to be down there in the middle of downtown riding this fucking tricycle in some tighty whities and nothing else on, and then holding up a sign asking for equal rights? She said, it doesn't make sense to me that you can conduct yourself like a fucking moron and then ask to be treated equally. Mm-hmm. So she said, for that reason alone, I will never go to Pride again. And she was like, it wasn't even just the one guy. It was the craziness of all the people down there. She was like, I understand celebrating Pride and, you know, the history of Pride, you know, that it was more of a somber event, and Pride nowadays is more of a fun, festive party event, which you can celebrate and party and do all that stuff, but not look like a moron and then ask for rights the next day. And that was her opinion. And I kind of agree with her. Like, you can't, it's hard to, and the same thing with us. If you're running around doing crazy shit and then you want to turn around the next day and say, hey, can we be treated equally? Stop doing crazy shit. But everybody does crazy shit. And so I can't really bring that into the black people discussion, but at the same time, it's the same thing top to bottom. Like, there are people that respect, you know, that want to change society and want to change the way that they're viewed within the gay community, but or the LGBTQI plus community, they want to change it, but they also know that, you know, there are people that they feel are bringing them down.
Okay, so
unpack it.
I'm ready, baby.
Yeah, no, it's not a Sylvie be Savage episode, but I feel like I look at things from her perspective, and I know that you'll look at it from a broader perspective.
I do, because I completely disagree with her. Mm-hmm. And so first, I recognize that she is part of the LGBTQIA community, so I recognize that there's a limit to what I can say and what I can understand. I get that. Mm-hmm. With that being said, when you first told me this story, every time, I haven't said anything because I said, I'm just going to save for the podcast. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I knew was that she was white. I knew she was white. When you, before you even, because you never told me the name of the person. I just figure I know who it is. But I knew she was white because this is how white people talk about things like rights. Because white people have never had to fight for rights tied to their skin color. White people were not treated as property and animals, and they had to climb from that to being treated like human beings, and the, like, because we still aren't treated equally. So But she is a lesbian and she's part of the LGBTQIA community, so I'm not going to act as though I know something that
a lesbian activist.
A lesbian activist. Okay, here's why her activism, here's why I'm not surprised that she's white and her activism is rooted in whiteness and why her activism is completely and totally, like, off the mark. Because, here's why. Because your humanity and being treated as a person with dignity and respect should not be based on whether you are out here partying crazy for a weekend or whatever. You should be treated like a human being because you are a human being. LGBTQIA folks, I don't care if they run through the streets defecating. I don't care. They should be able to get married. They should be able to have children. They should be able to adopt. They should be treated with dignity and respect because of who they are as people. The very idea that you can act your way out of rights is a white idea because white people set up the society where black people were told for the longest time, you know, if we just act right, maybe they'll treat us well. And black history is full of different figures and characters who tried to encourage black people to act a certain way and talk a certain way and dress a certain way and these things in the hopes that that white people wouldn't lynch us or beat us or set us on fire or stab us or rape us or kill us. But the reality is we shouldn't have to do all that to be treated equally. They're the ones who created the society that says, no, that's not how we're going to function. And so
I feel like I should just be saying, making hymn noise, like black church noises in the background. amen, brother. Amen. Right. Preach. I had to throw that in there.
No. I appreciate it. Here's the thing. We don't do that with straight people.
No.
And that's why her analogy falls apart in shambles. There is a festival that straight people participate in every year that is built for straight people to go and get all their excess sin out. There is a festival every year where straight people and people of all backgrounds go and they give each other beads and they go get food. And they dance and they pull their shirts up and they show their bodies and they participate in all sorts of parties and all sorts of things. And nobody says, oh, them straights don't need to be treated equally because of Mardi Gras.
The Catholic Church has
an entire festival devoted to getting your sin out before Lent. But gay people have to act uncouth and acceptable to be treated equally? No, I will not agree with that in any stretch. What those folks do at Pride should have no bearing on them being able to get married, to be able to have strong marital contracts that secure each other when it comes to benefits, when it comes to housing, when it comes to anything that the contract needs to rest on. They should be able to live free and happy lives without any threat of straight people wanting to take away. Because what it means is if you have to act a certain way to be able to do something, it's not a right. It's a privilege.
Privilege, yeah.
And it could be taken away. So, no, I completely disagree with that. I disagree with that for LGBTQIA folks. I disagree with that for black folks. I disagree with that for brown folks, poor folks, disabled folks, anyone. Right. That is not how rights are supposed to work. And I just want to add one last thing. Mm-hmm. This is why white people of all marginalized groups, no matter who they are, this is why white people need to do less talking and more listening, because I can assure you because here's the other thing people don't know about me in Atlanta. I used to work with activist groups in Atlanta. I used to work with Black Lives Matter Atlanta. And in that organization, we centered black queer folks and black women. So people like her, activists like her, need to sit down and be quiet and listen to black LGBTQIA activists and organizers, because they have the knowledge. They can point the way. But this stuff of like, you shouldn't act like that if you want to be treated well. Nah. Nope.
Hey, look, I think that you are, your point is like super valid, spot on as always. That's why I kind of wanted
always,
to bring.
I'm not always right.
That's why I kind of wanted to bring it up to you and see how you thought about the situation. Because again, I think that, and this is from my point of view, this is my perspective, is I feel like, hey, if you don't have, so if I. So say you want to give your kid allowance, right? Never had allowance before, right? And you say, all right, well, you should keep your room clean. But you say, hey, you should keep your room clean all the time. Mm-hmm. But now I'm going to give you an allowance to clean your room, right? This kid is going to clean his room every week, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to get paid every week. And the week that he doesn't, he doesn't get paid.
That's right.
But the point that I'm trying to make is that you are asking for something that you don't have. Like my son would ask for allowance that he does not have at the moment. And then I start feeding him allowance, right? Starts getting comfortable with the allowance that he's getting. And then he stops doing what he's supposed to do to get it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's... So while you see it from, I should just be getting allowance all the time because, you know, everybody else gets allowance all the time.
In part, yes.
Right. I see it as, hey, I'm working to get somewhere. I'm working to get something that I don't have now. I am not being treated equally. I am not being treated the same, which, again, I agree with you. And I also agree with her to a certain extent. I say that, hey, this is not something that I'm currently getting. If I want these rights, if I want this, I have to work to get them. And we all have to work together to get them. But again, I am like, as far, you know, left as it comes when it comes to those topics, because I feel like, yes, I agree with you. They should be getting rights in general. Again, Black people, you brought up Martin Luther King earlier. You know, 1968, you know, the Fair Housing Act, you know, I'm in property management, that these laws were put into place, and all the other, in the Disability Act in 77, where they, you know, blocked up the government building in San Francisco. Like these things, they weren't just given to people. Everything that people have now, all the rights that they have now, that, again, I agree with you, they should naturally have, they don't have. They work to get them. They clean their room. They did their chores, did what they're supposed to do to get these rights. So when they stop doing what society tells them they should do, or when they're not putting forth, they're just assuming that they're going to get these rights. It doesn't look good from both sides. Again, like I said, I agree with you, but I agree with her as well, because I feel like they're working hard to get the rights that they have, and the rights that they should just be getting in general for being a fucking human. So I'm on the fence about it. And that's, again, why I wanted your opinion, because you're probably one of the smartest people I know. So it comes to stuff like that, because you were, I mean, that's your wheelhouse. Like me, I'm just like, fuck it. I know hoes. But at the same time, I do know, I research a lot of things and I read a lot, and, you know, I follow different things. And, but again, I know sales and hoes better than anything in the world. Whereas look, you have a broader knowledge of other shit. So let me talk about hoes, and I, you know, and ask you questions, because I'm coming at this from my perspective. But I'm also, like, again, I'm agreeing with what you're saying, but I also agree with her too. Like, we have to continue to work hard to do this and not show that side in public like that. But again, this plays on both sides. I'm stumped as to what side I would choose.
So I will encourage you and help you and say you don't have to choose a side, because what I notice, having worked with activists and organizers and still being connected with a few of them, is that people don't know just how much struggle has continued in the wake of, you know, Dr. King and Malcolm X and Medgar Evers and all these different, like, leaders being murdered, George Jackson, and also political prisoners, Assata Shakur, you know, still being in exile, all of these things that have continued to happen as people continue to fight for progress and for liberation. The struggle has never ended. Okay. Right. And, but even still, like, Black people are not a monolith, despite how many non-Black people see us that way. And so even in the midst of some of our people fighting and you're struggling for liberation, you still got Black folks of all different stripes and backgrounds. And so there's room. There's a path that people walk every day where they are acting appropriately for work in different places that they're in, and, you know, tearing it up on the weekends, having a good time, and they're balancing these different things. It's not an either or when it comes to it. But at the end of the day, no matter how people are moving along the path, people still need to be treated as human beings. And right. where I differ from your friend is that their view is more of a reformist view that says, well, if we do this, then these things can change within the current framework. Okay. Right. I have read quite a bit about the reformist position, and I am not convinced by it at all, especially for marginalized Black and brown people. I think when you're white, sometimes you can benefit from just simple reform and you could get ahead, but not other people's. Right. I'm more on the radical side. I'm, in fact, completely on the radical side, where Malcolm X said,
make noise.
Yeah, well, also, but Malcolm X said, are we integrating into a burning house? And the way I see it, the entire structure is lethally flawed, and that the only way we can live in a society where everyone is treated equally with dignity and respect is that we have to take down the white supremacist, capitalist, homophobic, patriarchal framework that we live in and say, okay, no. We're going to build a different society with a different value system. And that value system is not going to be based on how much money you make or whether you have a disability or not, or whether you are cishet or transgender, or whether you're gay, or whether you support American imperialism, or whether you're white or not. We're going to build a value system that treats you as a human being with dignity and respect. You work as you're able. We'll take care of everybody. That's the world I see. Right. And so at the end of the day, even though I completely disagree with your friend, I think we all still want the same things. We right. still want to all be treated well. We just have different ways of seeing that we get there. And I think my position is stronger because it's rooted in the tradition of the most marginalized people. And I didn't make this up. I just read their works.
Hey,
and
look,
said, I'm convinced.
I love how you brought the Malcolm and Martin situation, because I feel like that's kind of what it looks like from both sides. Like, hey, we have to behave a certain way, and we have to not fight back, and we have to not show that side of us to integrate in society. But again, you know, from Malcolm perspective, like, nah, we shouldn't have to do all that. You should just treat us like a fucking person. like yep. a human being. And, so I can understand that comparison, and I'm glad that you brought that out.
Absolutely. And as we wrap this up, I just want to remind everybody that when it comes to Malcolm X and Dr. King, they had moved a little closer to each other by the end. But remember, despite them having different views, this country still murdered them both. So,
get your hand out of my pocket, nigga. All right. Sorry. Yeah. I had to throw that out there.
So this was a good talk. When you brought this up, I did not know where this was going to go, but I enjoyed this conversation.
No, hey, I wanted it to be informative but fun. Also, I wanted to tell my nigga story.
Oh, God.
Because we ain't doing that
here in the streets. We hope y'all enjoyed it, and feel free to share it with a friend and let us know what you think. We're on social media. Banks is actually about to start a Twitter. We'll give you more information about that in the coming episodes. You can always find me, Daniel Troutman, on social media. Thank you so much for listening. Watching, but I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to y'all next time.
Hey, be good humans.
Be good humans.
Peace. Just like